This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price, along with David Cruz. And today in the studio, we have with us Ann Crier, who is really, David, the person who's responsible for bringing us together and starting our friendship. And 3 years ago, hosted a little dinner and invited both of us, and we became fast friends. And so we give thanks for that. Ann is also our first repeat guest on this program. We had her back at the early part of this program, and is someone who has a degree in pastoral studies from Loyola University in New Orleans, and is also someone who has lived in the gap between the Protestant and Catholic worlds really for 30 plus years. And it's just a privilege to have you here, your wisdom, your intellect, and your insight. And we've invited you on the show today to really turn the tables a little bit on David and I. And we wanted you to ask us some probing questions. And as things have turned out, what we were hoping to do essentially is to have you as a place to jump off from the circumstances surrounding Syria and the now debate that is going on within Congress and then also throughout the United States as to whether or not we should intervene militarily.
Thank you. Thank you both for the invitation to return to the show. It's a great privilege for me to be here. I'm somewhat speechless to say that I'm the question giver in this context in front of two very insightful men in my lives, very formative in our community, and who have so much to say. I hope I can ask the questions that bring forth from each of you in your own unique ways, the insights and the passions that you carry in your heart for Christian faith, for Christian action, for passion that leads us to be transformed in a more Christ-like image and in his mission of building kingdom on earth. So I hope that I'm up for the task and true to the mission of that vision that you've given for this particular taping.
And when we spoke briefly before we began the show, we suggested that it would be okay to discuss a topic that is very much on the minds and thoughts of a lot of people, and that is Syria. What thoughts do you have, or what did you want to ask about it? Lead us into the conversation, would you?
I would like to kind of just introduce this topic with a word that seems very faith-filled and very in the context of gospel scripture, and that word would be paradox. I want to see how we can grapple with this current situation under the impressions that we have of Christ's life, his teaching and his modeling so explicitly, nonviolence, and yet how we feel it is our Christian duty, and maybe I would even say our American privilege and responsibility to defend human rights, wherever those might be violated around the globe. Those two things seem to, in this case and in prior situations, to be at odds with each other, that you have to choose one or the other. How do you see being able to hold the tension between those two things, to stand in the posture that Christ gave us of nonviolent reform, nonviolent impact on this world and how we live it with our Christian values, alongside of our responsibility, accountability, to protect the weakest, most vulnerable among us, even at a distant land?
Well, Ryan, of course, might have an entirely different take, and I respect his way of thinking. But I guess when I think of paradox, I think that it doesn't apply necessarily. It's the way I look at it with regard to military intervention. If we right now Congress is discussing and soon will vote whether or not to give the president the authority to execute a military intervention or strike, whatever form that's going to take. But I see it as if we make the decision as the intervention that is necessary to stem the tide of evil. And I think it's justified. I think there are times when good people have to be able to stand up to what we believe is wrong in the world. And if we don't do it as Americans, especially who really espouse values of freedom and liberty and human rights, then are we in fact complicitous when we see evil and don't do anything about it? And the evil is when a dictator and a very cruel person uses chemical weapons on innocent people, including children. And so I don't see paradox like I would normally see it in this context.
I would like to respond that in the words that you chose is exactly where I do see the paradox, because the way it was described was that we would be coming against evil with the use of power and force to suppress that evil, but in the very act of doing that is the paradox of our weapons inflicting the evil upon civilians in that country that is undoubtedly going to be the case. It has become the harsh reality of warfare in our time. There are more civilian lives lost than there are military troops.
And that was true about the Second World War.
And yet,
because there were civilian casualties and there was loss of human life, innocent life, but had we not intervened when we did, and thank God that we did, imagine how different the world would be if the United States of America had not intervened to stop Nazi Germany from perpetrating evil on humanity.
I'm just wondering, is there not some other kind of way diplomatically at this point, even this late in the game, to depose Assad, to seek to more actively do this without a strike, an intervention militarily by the United States at this point, which we know will end in more horrendous suffering? And what I'm very afraid of is who will then step into power if Assad is kicked out? I frankly don't like America's allies in this thing.
Ryan, I want to hear more about this. I think we're going to go on break. But my gosh, I hope people will stay tuned to listen, because I want to hear more about what you have to say about it.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz. Brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price along with David Cruz, and we are sitting here in the studio today with a returning guest, Ann Cryer, who is a friend of both David and mine, and someone who is in fact responsible for bringing us together. And with the way that conversation has begun, maybe the person who has to intervene as we have this serious conversation about a very important issue that is facing not only the United States and Syria, but indeed the entire world right now, and that is whether or not Congress will give its permission or go ahead to President Obama to intervene.
And Ryan, you were about to and had entered into the thought that perhaps there is another solution besides military intervention or a military response, namely a more diplomatic response. Could you continue on your train of thought?
Right. Well, let me back up from that for a second and tell you, I'm friends with the imam here in Lubbock, Samir Al-Tahaba, someone I consider a dear friend. We've known each other for 3 years, and he is originally from Syria. He came over to the United States 6 or 8 years ago, maybe more than that. But his father came over to the United States a year and a half ago as a refugee, essentially from the war that's going on in Syria. And the imam tells me, say, 8 months ago, a conversation that he is having on Facebook with the kid who is being recruited by the rebels to go to war, take up arms against the Assad regime. And he says this is a kid who's now 18. He knew him 10 or so years ago when he was just a little boy. And the boy is being recruited to act as a human bomb, essentially. And the recruitment tools are these. The Assad regime is not worshiping the true way of the Muslim faith. And they should be toppled, and we should reinstitute our understanding of Islam to govern Syria. And this kid is on Facebook, but he doesn't have any running water because of the war. Now, that's a striking thing to me in this modern world, that you could have Facebook but not have running water.
Yes.
But it's just how the world is. And the imam, who is one of the most sincere peace-seeking persons I know, is counseling this person not to strap a bomb to himself and go and do someone else's business. I think to myself, if Assad is toppled in a way that is not diplomatic, I am very, very concerned that the regimes that will take over will be those kinds of people who are recruiting that boy. And I'm sure that violence will escalate if Assad is deposed in a way that could potentially make what has happened over the last 2 months in Egypt look on minute scale versus what could happen in the streets of Damascus.
Ryan, and this conversation reminds me, we live in an imperfect world. This world is unredeemed. So our solutions, by just virtue of the fact we live in an imperfect world and that we're imperfect too, our solutions will be imperfect. I mean, I wish with all my heart that there would be a solution that would be non-violent or that would not necessitate the use of military force. But I also believe there is a time and a place when a military approach is necessary. Why? Because the world is imperfect, and our solutions, we wish that peace was the answer. And peace and love, they are the answer, unless people just simply will not respond to that kind of love and kindness. Then what's the solution? I mean, and you haven't said how you feel.
Oh, this is a two-way street.
No,
Anne.
I'm the question asker, and I'm thinking though how similar it sounds when Ryan gives the personal example he's has access to, of a young man being recruited in the name of the true Islam to become a martyr, basically for his faith, to return back. And it's causing me to think of this example and previous wars where we are asked as Christians to send troops that may not return in the name of Christian principles and values. And that sounds so true and so good to our faith. I wonder if we are standing, though, in the often so surprising words and viewpoints of Christ, in how he shocked his own audience in his time into seeing things from, some would say, a third way, a different perspective, a place that comes from not as man sees it, but as God sees it, and to say that evil is often disguised as good. There are countless examples of that in history, that something very admirable and that is presented to the people to back up and to get on board and to follow along with is something that sounds like the good thing to do, the charitable thing to do. And history proves that it's the very disguise that evil can take on. So it causes me, as is so often the case in gospel language, to question what appears to be logical, what appears to be true or faith-filled. Can we say that again and say, is there not another way of seeing this? Is there...
From my perspective, I think, regardless, God's heart is sick over what is happening in Syria. Sick, sick, sick. My concern is that if, and it may be when by Sunday when this program airs, there could be something completely different going on. But it's my hope that some way people would see that whatever good might could come out of an intervention, it is unlikely to settle the terms long term, and the consequences could be even more disastrous. And so my concern is there some way in which we could find some kind of diplomatic solution where Assad leaves power? And from what I hear is a lot of folks saying that's not going to happen until America and Russia come to greater terms.
Okay.
And where Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Somebody's got to be making peace here.
And that brings me to a question for David Cruz when we come back.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. I'm Ryan Price, along with David Cruz, and we are sitting in the studio today with our friend Ann Cryer, and we are having a robust conversation about things that are taking place halfway across the globe, primarily Syria and the serious circumstances that are facing our country and our nation, and certainly the heavy deliberation that is facing not only our president, but also our Congress.
And before we went on break, you were about to ask a question.
I am, and I pointed at you, but please, both of you, feel free to answer this. We have been talking about from whence can we draw the wisdom for this time. I want, though, to point at a voice that is becoming so strong in our world and say, how can we let that voice inform us in the call of Pope Francis on this Saturday to reach across the lines of Christian denominations and even to reach across the lines of world religions, to embark upon a day of fasting and prayer to essentially pound the door of wisdom to open for us to see how our stance that is grounded in peace and grounded in nonviolence, how it is that the power of faith, the power of prayer, can impact this situation in hopefully a way we cannot see on this day. Speak to that, both
okay.
of you.
Well, Anne, thank you for bringing up the call to pray for peace. And I think the Pope is absolutely right, and that's something we all have to do. But let me tell you, I think we can do both. I think we always try to, and always as Christian people, as God-fearing people, what we want to do is always hold the peace as the greatest value. And so I think we have to pray for a peaceful resolution to this issue. At the same time, we cannot stop living in reality. A moment ago I was espousing, I'm supportive of a military intervention, a military strike. And let me give you a practical example. If someone that you loved, that you treasured, was in harm's way, and someone was going to do them harm, you would not think, not even a split second, about using force, if that's what it took, to spare the life of an innocent person or to protect them from harm. So I believe that there is an appropriate use of force. As long as we're human and in this skin, and humanity is prone to deeds that are not good, whether we call them evil or label them, you call them whatever you want, force sometimes is necessary. I'm certain that any good human being would not think twice to use it if that's what it took to protect someone we love. So I think we do both things, and they're not contradictory. I think both things are valid. We pray for peace. We always look for the solution that is the most peaceful. But then we can never stop living outside of this skin that we occupy. And so in life and in this world, sometimes when evil prospers in the world, we have an obligation to stand up to it. And I would point out Jesus did the same. He stood up to evil. And I think that what he teaches us is to do the same given our own human limitations.
David, I don't know what Jesus would have us to do in this situation. I'm certainly praying for that. My sense is that what I'm most concerned about is I do not deny someone the right to self-defense or to defend one's own country, family, whatever it may be. But I'm deeply concerned about the practicality, or maybe I should say the impracticality, of violent solutions in this world. And I'm very concerned that what I know to be a fact that Jesus did teach when he said, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword, that what we're going to have is a long, long, long sword fight in Syria that will end in a bloodbath of potentially hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
I agree. I'm drawing on recently reading the statement that Pope Francis made, calling us to prayer and fasting on this coming Saturday. In that statement, he said, war begets war. He made no exception in our history where that has not been proven the case. If one reads that and examines our history based on that fact, it is very hard to say there is a justifiable war. And it is even harder to justify the terms of war in our days. It is not a military force against a military force. It is a civilian casualty war that is devastating, that is inhumane in itself to the extent of whatever type weapon inflicted the death, whether it be chemical or American launched. It is just unexcusable and inexplainable that could be a solution. There must be in our times, drawing from the wisdom of the past, drawing from the voices that we have today, a way to apply pressure that is not causing the loss of civilian life, the loss of any life, and the devastation of earth and all kinds of things. Where is it?
One of the great things about Faith Matters, and there are many, is that I can sit alongside you and Ryan, and I know Ryan from this conversation feels differently than I do, and I can really respect his position. I know it's heartfelt. And I hold in my own heart very much the same feeling. But I also am a realist, and I'm not suggesting Ryan isn't. I know he's a realist. But it's great that we can have this conversation and have respectful dialogue. You know, what I see very often, even on this issue, you look at CNN, you look at Fox News, you look at, and they bring on these dueling points of view, and they have all these debates around an issue like Syria and the outcome that we all hope will be peaceful. And instead of there being a dialogue that informs and that gives us a greater wisdom, what you wind up is having a greater polarity. You wind up just having, you know, instead of reconciliation, you wind up having more division. So it's great that we can have this conversation, maybe disagree to some degree, and yet still have a respectful dialogue.
I do want to add to David Cruz in your perspective, in your stance. You spoke very personally just a little while ago about your strong belief in protecting someone you love. That you would use means of violence, or I know how heartfelt that is for you.
And let me say, in all fairness to our listeners and in the interest of self-disclosure, I've seen a lot of violence and I've seen the effects of violence firsthand. And maybe that's a subject for another program. So when I talk about this, I'm not talking about it theoretically. Mm. I'm talking about it as someone who has confronted violence, who has lived with it, even sometimes very, very closely. So I feel very strongly about the issue.
Boy, I'm glad that this is an hour-long program, not just a 30-minute-long program. Too bad it isn't. We could go on, and between now and Sunday, many things could happen in Syria. I covenant to remain in prayer, not only for President Obama and our Congress, but certainly the people of Syria. And I hope for peace. Thanks, Anne, for being with us.
And I honor so much everything that's been expressed here and the hearts from which it came. Thank you.
Thank you, David. You've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.